All right, we're back to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to do this for the next 2 weeks. I've been enjoying this book. Actually, it's over a year ago now when we got started, when we got started from 1 Corinthians, and I'm hoping that before Christ returns, it will get done. But here we are. We're in chapter 9, 24 through 27. And as a way of opening, let me just say this. My aim is to create a conviction that the exercise of freedom requires discipline. Self-control is something that is absolutely necessary in life, pertaining particularly to the life of faith. Although we have been made righteous in Christ, we are still in our sinful flesh that resents and resists discipline. We want the prize, but we want it the easy way. Well, that is not how it works according to the Word of God. Living by faith in God's future grace is characterized by endurance and steadfastness, and they do not occur without spiritual disciplines. So then, winning the fight of faith is a strenuous journey. In the lyrics of an old hymn, we sang this in our small group this past Wednesday, written by Robert Robinson, has been so helpful to me in this way. It says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter," meaning iron chains, "like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." You know, I've been thinking about this subject for the last few weeks. I think more about it because I'm in my mid-40s now. And the word here is endurance. And I think about it because our culture is marked by emotional fragility. Anything can happen, and all of a sudden, something can just make a shipwreck of my ministry, or my faith, or my walk with God. The world has many promises, and sometimes we don't see how empty they are. We just like to enjoy them, and they can offer us something really beautiful or satisfying, but they're empty, promising to give us what we really need, only to find out that in the end, they are actually weakening our joy in Christ. And so I thank God for His faithfulness to me. You know, I get emotional when I sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," because we sang that in our wedding. But I thank God for His goodness and His faithfulness throughout the years. I have been in ministry for, I'd say, more than 25 years. I have been involved in ministry before Lori and I met 25 years ago. And from the time we got married, we were always involved in missions and ministry. And I thank God and I praise Him that for what He called me to do. And every moment of it is worth living for. Because the prize is not the perishable wreath. It's not any type of acclamation. The prize is heavenly. It's the crown that God will give us to those who are faithful. And you know what we're going to do with the crown? Give them back to Jesus. You see, that's why it's wonderful. We will not give it. Because when we have God, we have everything. And so when we receive something more from God, we give it back to Him. And that's why it's just worth living for. So this is what we are focusing on this morning. God's word for us today speaks to the truth that discipline is necessary in order to have endurance in the faith. It also speaks about finishing. And the only way to finish this race is to make sure that you don't get DQ'd, right? Or disqualified. And so, you know, keep that in mind as we go through the exposition of the text. So let me ask you this question. Why does the Apostle Paul get into the subject of discipline in life, or in life of faith, as he speaks about, you know, we talked about 2 weeks ago, incarnational ministry, or becoming all things to all people? What is the connection? What is the logic behind him saying, you know, I become all things to all people so that I may win more to Christ? To jumping on to this ending of 1 Corinthians 9 saying, do you not know that in a race, the runners run? It's like, you know, what's the connection to this? Well, as you may remember, we talked about this in chapter 9, and that freedom is a great thing. We are free in two ways. We are free in Christ, and we are also free from anything in the world. It's our freedom in Christ that makes us free from the world. In other words, our freedom in Christ makes us free from anything that can hinder us from pursuing Christ himself. And this is the reason why the Apostle Paul was able to give up or to forfeit himself of all kinds of freedom he had. His freedom and joy in Christ enabled him to surrender lesser joys in his life that the world has to offer. And so ultimately the reason for his joy or enjoyment of anything that he had was not based on things that the gospel provides or provided. His enjoyment was rooted in the gospel itself. The ultimate source of his joy is in Christ himself. It's not in the things of the world. It is in the gospel of Christ alone. So therefore, Paul gets into the subject of discipline. Because our freedom from the world cannot be lived without self-control. You recognize that from where we left off? In order for you to enjoy your freedom, mostly, you must be able to control yourself from enjoying it too much more than God. Your freedom from the world without discipline can become a stumbling block to other believers. You recognize that? You know, your enjoyment there can become a stumbling block to lead others to Christ. And if you are not careful, it can also make that shipwreck of your own faith. And so, endurance cannot be realized, will not be experienced without proper self-control and discipline. This is what makes your gospel proclamation effective. It is what makes the message of the gospel known to others. If we say we exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things for the joy of all peoples, like what we say here at Desiring God often, and for us to long to see 100 people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through our witness, you have to be disciplined in running the race of faith so you don't get disqualified. Okay, let us unpack this admonition in three levels of discipline. Okay, I've been talking about discipline, self-control. You know, let me just unpack it in three levels. Are you ready? You ready? Three levels. Here's the first one. From verse 24, okay? We're not extrapolating this. We are seeing this in the text. It says, run with an intention to get to the finish line. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners, what? Run. All the runners run. Let's stop right there. If all the runners run, then if you consider yourself to be a runner, then you have to run with an intention to get to the finish line. Right? That's what we notice here in the first part of verse 24. It's clear. This idea should be familiar to the Corinthians as we know it, because we see the words, we read the words, "Do you not know?" That means you know it already. I'm not telling you something new or something different or something that you haven't heard of. He's saying, "Don't you know? Don't you know that in a race, they all run?" And you say, "Okay, well, if the Jewish believers were not really knowledgeable about this, because the running, you know, games were actually introduced by the Greeks, right?" Well, at this point, you know, in Corinth, there was this, it's called Isthmian Games, just like the Olympic Games. And so that's why the Apostle Paul used the word, "Don't you know?" They were familiar with about this whole thing. And so the first kind of discipline that we need to put in our minds is to have an intention to have, in order for us to have an intention to finish it, is to desire it. Desire to finish the race. And that's what it says. This is the reason why he uses the word "don't you know." There are rules. There are qualifications in a real game or competition. It is not a type of venture where you do your own thing or you make up your own rules, right? It's one thing to know the rules, and there is another thing. It's another to live by them. There is a beginning, and there is a designated ending, and the goal is to make to the finish line. This involves mental preparation. So, to finish the race, we have to be prepared mentally to finish it. Mentally to finish it. Of course, it would be dangerous to interpret this passage, this athletic metaphor, as though every facet of Christian life is all about running. It's all about race. But we notice here in our first point that mental conditioning is a way of preparation. And so we have to run with an intention to finish the race. Now, we notice another important mental preparation in the text in order to finish this race of faith. Not only mental preparation, but I mean, related still to mental preparation, but this is to run in such a way that you may win. You see that? Finishing that sentence. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? It's a rhetorical question. Don't you understand? You know it already. You don't need to answer me. That's why it's a rhetorical question. You do not need to give an answer. Don't you know? You have to run in such a way that you may win. Run, in other words, you know, in a simple language, run like a winner, right? So to resolve it in your mind that you must run to finish the race, and then, secondly, run like a winner. This type of mental conditioning is necessary in order to get to the finish line. Run that you may obtain it, obtain the prize. And this is what the life of faith is all about. You have to keep on running till the race is done, and as though you are going to be the winner. I mean, you know, you don't run there like, "Oh, you know, I'm just going to finish it, you know, and keep on chugging along the way. It's like, I'm going to finish it anyway, and I'm going to get there. It doesn't matter how long it takes." That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. Run, and then run like a winner. You know, I feel like I wish, you know, I had a good coach, you know, when I was in high school, telling me that way, you know, to run like that. But it's never too late. I still run, And sometimes, you know, I just have to challenge myself in all these things. But here's what matters the most. It doesn't matter if you end up way behind. You have to run like a winner. Now you say, is it wrong to run like that? I mean, you know that 100 people probably passed you by already, and you're still, you know, jogging there like a winner. I mean, is it wrong to run like that? Well, what is helpful about running in a way that you may win is what the Apostle Paul thinks about. It is helpful because it is the race we're running. It's not about a medal, you know, running for. It's not about a medal, but it is the crown of life. Entering the throne, the presence of God, saying, faithful servant, come in, enter, right? You remember that passage, enter the joy of your master. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm glad you made it. You know, that's not what the Bible said or says. So there is a mental preparation involved in the race. We need to remember this also, that we need to remember that true faith is lived in this manner. The obedience of faith is not a race just like trying to get by, but running with joy and endurance and perseverance. You know, for many of us, it's not hard to get our minds ready. You can just, you know, you can think it, you can imagine it, you can really get your mind ready for it. Mentally, it's not really hard. I find that to myself, it's not really hard. Sometimes I just put on my running shirt and my shorts and my Brooks shoes, and it's like, okay, now I can feel, I can get there without any problem, right? I can just get there, I can just feel it. You know, I'm standing there in my garage, like, okay, now I think I can finish it. I can get to the finish line, and I will run as hard as I can, and there's no problem. Until I get there, it's a completely different story. Actually, my wife and I just ran last Saturday, and I felt that. It was a different story. But so then this is our second point in the passage. So mental conditioning is good, but don't forget physical conditioning. Okay? Emotional conditioning is necessary, but don't ignore physical conditioning. That's what we see in verse 25. It says exercise or self-control. What do you read it? How do you read it here? It says every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Running the race of faith does not only involve, again, mental preparation. It also involves physical preparation or conditioning. And this is what makes us a winning athlete. In order for a runner to finish the race of faith, he must also exercise self-control or self-restraint. Now, I use the word self-restraint there and associated with self-control. And I'll explain why. Paul says every athlete exercises self-control, and this is all about being disciplined in order not to get disqualified in the race. Now, if you have NIVs here, you will read there that it's not self-control, but the words what? The words strict training. So strict training is used instead of self-control. And you know, strict training is more about rigorous workout and practice, right? When you hear the word strict training, that's practice, and workout. We hear coaches emphasize that all the time. You know, if you want to win, you know what? If you want to win, practice. If you want to be a good musician, musicians practice. If you want to be a good, you know, whatever. I ran out of examples in my mind. You have to practice. Do you want to really run like a winner? Practice. Well, athletes train. But this is also true in Christian life. You know, it's true in Christian life. Christians must pray, read their Bible, and be in fellowship with other believers regularly in order to run the race well. But we notice ESV using the word, or rendering it, using the words self-control instead of strict training. Why? Why do you think? What's the difference? You know, strict training, self-control. Well, the Greek word for this is, you don't have to know this, is egrotenetai. Using the self-control here is I think closer to what it really means, which speaks about keeping one's emotions, impulses, or desires, you know, keeping your desires under control. And so it is in reference to abstaining from activities and behavior that are not helpful to an athlete. That's why ESV uses the word self-control instead of strict training. They can go together, but it renders what the you know, capturing the original thinking in what it means to have that discipline. Desires must be under control. So in reference to abstaining from activities and behavior that are not helpful to an athlete, strict training does not actually, it can if you are, you know, if you can imagine it, but it gives the full meaning, you know, as we see the ESV here. I'm not promoting ESV. I'm just saying that in this particular one, it's very, very helpful. So the race of faith does not only involve training, but it also involves self-control in what? Self-control in all respects. It's not just in some ways, in all respects. That's what it says in the text. Thus, athletes are held to be excellent models of self-control. So the race of faith is not mainly about reading the Bible regularly. It's not only about coming to church regularly. It's not only about meditating on the Word regularly. Of course, those things are wonderful and great and good. Being in a small group or participating in outreach and missions, those are wonderful things. They are necessary in our expression of faith. It is also the race of faith, the run of faith, also involves self-control, which means controlling our bodies, our impulses, and abstaining from things that are not helpful to the body. The words from the text, again, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Again, what? In all things. So, we ask the question again, so why does the Apostle Paul speak in this manner? You may recall that the problem in the Corinthian church, you know, Corinthian church was not about having lack of knowledge, neglect of fellowship. You remember that? That was not the problem. The problem was not lack of fellowship or lack of wisdom. Certainly they were so wise, right? You remember? Or not the problem was not about exercising their gifts or hospitality. Or skills in the church. I mean, they had a lot of leaders who were so eloquent. So the problem was not about exercising gifts. You know what the problem was? About food and sexual behavior. You recall that, right? That's what the Apostle Paul addressed in the few chapters beforehand. The problem was lack of self-control. They lacked self-control with food and drinks and as well as their sexual behavior. And this is the reason why the Apostle Paul, going back to chapter 5, verse 6, says, your boasting is not good. You know, Corinth at that time was noted for its licentious living. They were out of control in their sexual lifestyle. They were unwilling to excommunicate the sexually immoral among them. You remember that in chapter 6? And they were offending other believers by eating foods sacrifice to idols in chapter 8. Therefore, the challenge to abstain from food and drinks and other kinds of activities that hinder the gospel from being accepted by those who are still lost directly relates to the admonition for all the runners to run the race of faith. You get it? This is major. And sometimes Christian churches are not mindful of these things. Oh, they say, oh, you know, we have a large church. We have a, you know, we have a lot of ministries. We have a lot. We're doing a lot of good things. But then they are forsaking about some of the things that can hinder their witness. And so if we say that we must become all things to all people so that we may win them to Christ, you must have self-control. Self-control is what makes you endure the race of faith, and it is also what makes you more effective in reaching others for Christ. So when the Apostle Paul said, I have become all things again to all people, so that by all means I might save some, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings, you know, intentionally sharing the blessings of the gospel that he experienced with others, his final charge is for them not to become disqualified. Athletes need to exercise self-control by refraining in particular from, and this is now examples, getting drunk with wine and from sexual immorality as they reach out to those who were still enslaved by them. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians. Obviously, the Corinthian church was not doing a good job in this area, which is the reason why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. So what about us? What about us here at Desiring God Community Church? All of us need self-control. We do. We cannot live a double lifestyle. We cannot compromise the truth of the gospel by having the presence of worldliness in our lives. We must repent from all of our sin, including our religious and spiritual sin, and give it to Jesus. We ask him to forgive us. We must ask him to empower us to reach out and challenge our friends who drink without getting drunk. We need to have self-control to talk to our friends who are struggling with money or struggling with sexual sin and other perversions without falling into them as well. We need to be a kind of disciplined people who can become all things to all people without becoming like them in the process. And this is one of the paradoxes of Christian life: becoming all things to all people without becoming like them. And that is only possible if you live by faith in Jesus Christ. So, you see the gradual preparation here, mental preparation, and now we just talked about the physical discipline, physical preparation. How do we then, what other kinds of preparation do we have left here? What more can you do? Well, you might be surprised in this one. You know, women don't like to watch boxing. I don't know if you... I might be exaggerating. But, you know, men tend to like the punching here and there, and they enjoy that, you know, the wrestling and all. You know, I think the Apostle Paul used this image to let you know that the race of faith, the run of, you know, our faith in Christ, living it, is not like, running is good, you know, he used that, but it's brutal. You have to understand that the Christian life is not easy. That's the message that we see here in the text. To living a Christian life is not easy. So it's not only self-control that matters. It's not only the mental preparation that matters. It also involves subjecting your body for your purposes. That means in verse 27, look at it. The Apostle Paul is saying, discipline your body. It means making your body your slave. It is similar to, but in many ways different from, self-control. Self-control is all about restrictions. But disciplining your body is a bit different according to our text, because it's literally bringing our body under subjection. And so when the Apostle Paul said, I beat myself, you know, I do not beat in the air or the air, the translation here basically says, this type of discipline is giving yourself a black eye. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're telling me that Christian life is like that? Big, you know, giving yourself a black eye? I mean, I don't even like getting a little cut, you know, when I'm chopping onions like that, and you get kind of like, oh, it's painful. How much more, you know, you get that black eye, and you do it yourself, purposely, to yourself, purposely. But this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Bring your body under subjection. The point is to make your body your slave. Well, let me tell you something. Most people, including Christians, are slaves to their bodies instead of their bodies being their slave. Their bodies tell their minds what to do. Their bodies decide what to eat, what not to eat, and how much to eat, when to sleep and to get up, and so on. You see, an athlete cannot allow that. He follows the training rules, not his body rules. You know, I realized this when I'm not signed up for a race. I am not as disciplined and self-controlled as when I am signed up. So when there is no race coming up, you know, I slack. You know, I don't get up early enough to exercise, you know, to train. I just don't train. You know, there's no purpose. I'm not signed up for a race. So why get up early in the morning? Why run 3 kilometers or 4, 5 kilometers to finish the 5K race? If you are not signed up. But let me tell you something. You're all signed up. You're all Christians. You're signed up for the race. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. All runners run. And when you're signed up for a race, I realized this, you know, Lori signed us up 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks before the race, and I realized that, oh no, I don't have enough time to train. But it didn't matter. You know, 2 weeks was, I think, enough to train. But let me tell you, I was like, I was so gung-ho. You know, to train, because I know that, you know, the race day will be coming up. Well, you don't know when Christ is coming back, right? But he is coming back. The race day will be around the corner, and you better be in shape. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You better be in shape in order to endure it. Don't let your body dictate your activities. So when you are signed up for a race, you eat well, you sleep plenty, and train diligently. Consequently, in the race of faith, we have to master our bodies in order to not become disqualified. We have to run even when our bodies would rather be resting, eating a balanced meal, when we would rather have cookies and ice cream, go to bed to get and get enough sleep rather than staying up too late watching television for whatever that may be. And you get up early to train when you would rather stay in bed. An athlete leads his body, gives his you know, himself a black eye. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He does not follow it. It is his slave, not the other way around. So now, for our conclusion. Oh, I'm so glad not to feel rushed. For our conclusion this morning, some people are like poorly disciplined athletes. They live for a little while as a Christian and then give up after a few years. They live like Christians when they were, you know, when they're at home, and then give it all up as they move somewhere for college. That's just an example. So they go out drinking, smoking, breaking the commandments, living like the world again. Eventually they feel bad, And they come back and say, this is really hard. This is really hard, and I'm afraid of going to hell. So they come back. Well, you have to keep your focus on Jesus. It's good that you come back. Jesus will always welcome you back. It doesn't matter how terrible you sin against God. The promise is that he will take you back to himself. But you have to come back to him. You have to come back to him. And then you have to keep your focus on Jesus. Just like, you know, when you're running, you fall. You don't say, oh, I give up. You stand up and you keep on running. You fall again, you stand up and you keep on running. So you have to keep your focus on Jesus. And what he says is that you need to discipline yourself like an athlete. You have to box yourself when you want to avoid training. Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price for you. He paid a cost for your salvation. He wants you to win. He wants to welcome you to himself. So live, as the Apostle Paul said, live in a manner worthy of his calling. Do not let the flesh, the world, everyday affairs, personal interests, and often simple laziness hinder spiritual growth and preparation for service, for the race of faith. Discipline is what builds endurance in the race of faith. Following your own ways cannot get you, following your own ways can get you disqualified in the race of faith and can also keep others from knowing the way. Let us pray.